define what you want. Sometimes
so
what
important.
We want is just a feeling. And when something is a feeling, it's not actionable. I was working with an entrepreneur. She felt stuck. And I said, she was trying to describe what was going on and she was meandering and really scattered. And I said, what does it feel like to be in this place? She thought for a minute and she was like, I just feel bleh. And I was like, that's part of the problem because that's not actionable, not at all. And so until what she was feeling was defined, we couldn't take action on it. So define the situation, define the circumstance, define what it is that you want. Maybe you're running into fear, but that fear is undefined, which means you can't protect yourself against it because it's undefined. So bringing definition to what's in front of you will then allow you to take action.
Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around. In this episode, we get to speak with Katie Richardson. She is on a mission to create powerful leaders. With a background in design, Katie built a multi-million dollar international company with distribution in 2,000 stores in the US and 26 countries. Her work has been featured on Ellen DeGeneres, The Today Show, and Rachel Ray. She's also been featured on the cover of Entrepreneur magazine. Today, as an executive business coach, Katie teaches founders plus CEOs the mindsets, skill sets, and tool sets we need to operate powerfully in business plus life so that we can live with purpose and do what we were born to do. Tune in for invaluable insights and actionable advice. Katie, thank you so much for coming onto the podcast.
Jawad, this is amazing. I'm super excited. And my hope is that we add tremendous value to your audience.
Amen, amen. So what I love to do is take a look at what you're doing today. And you're an executive business coach. You're teaching founders and CEOs mindset, skill sets, tool sets. How did you get here? What inspired you to say, hey, this is what I want to do with my life?
It's an unexpected journey, honestly. If you would have told me just 10 years ago that I would be coaching CEOs, executives, founders, I would have said, you're crazy. Long story short, I'm a woman who has developed a practice of listening to my internal compass. And that listening, that practice led me to unexpectedly building a multi-million dollar international company. I had never planned on doing that. But I'm super curious, Jawad. I think that's one of my greatest assets. From a really young age, I liked taking things apart and understanding all the parts and pieces and components, and then what are the joints and mechanisms to hold it together. And that led me to product design. And I excelled in product design while I was in school. I won national design awards. Mm-hmm. I won a scholarship from General Motors. And then when I graduated from school, I thought from that point on, my purpose and goal and objective, because I got married at the end of school, was to be a mother. And that was my divine role. It was my destiny as a woman. And I was excited to fulfill that responsibility in my life. And what I was surprised to discover was there was this part of me that had developed gifts and talents in school and had like really applied those gifts and talents in a way that it really stretched me that wasn't being seen in motherhood. And that led me to building a company. Then led me to an existential crisis, which was, okay, you decided you wanted to be a mom. You decided you wanted to be an entrepreneur. And guess what? Today, like as my company was taking off like a rocket ship, those two worlds were at odds with each other. And I was suddenly showing up with my kids in a way that I wasn't proud. And by 10 a.m., all of my patience was gone because I'd been up late the night before and the night before that and the night before that. And I was being mean mommy, and I could see it. It was like this experience where I could see it almost like an out of body experience where I'm yelling at my kids who are like 2 and 4. And I'm furious at them. And it's, what are you doing, Katie? That's not the kind of mom that you want to be. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, Jawad, I did not want to give up the business because it was developing my gifts and talents in a way that motherhood wasn't and maybe even couldn't. And so I was at this inflection point where I was like, what do I do? Because I care about both of these things. They both matter to me.
Absolutely.
And yet if I move down the road, I don't like where it ends up. So I had to figure out, long story short, I had to figure out, and it became a design problem. I had to figure out how to rearrange the elements in a way that they were compatible and they worked in harmony together. Because in the moment, they were at odds with each other. So that's what ultimately led me to essentially doing for myself what I now do today for entrepreneurs, which is understand how to build a business that's meaningful to you so that you can show up in the world as the man, the woman that you want to be.
Man, that was powerful. And that was really amazing. Most entrepreneurs solve a problem that they're facing.
Yeah.
And the more they go into it and people see that happening, hey, oh my God, I need that solution. How did you figure that out, Katie? Can you please help me as well? And that's what you're doing now. And I congratulate you and I celebrate that with you and how you were able to step back and look at the two things that you're that's happening and they're coming together. Instead of clashing, how about we collaborate and form that synergy, right? Mm-hmm. Synergy was a huge word in a lot of these movies. And you're able to do that now and show those tool sets and show those skill sets and build the mindset that then enables business and life to work together.
Yeah.
So now let's go deeper. This is so cool. Let's go deeper into, let's say somebody comes to you. They're a CEO. They're an entrepreneur. They're like, hey, I'm running this business and it's running and not running and I'm thinking that I should stop it and go do this full-time job instead. I've got four kids. I've got five kids. I'm running, dropping the kids off at school, picking them up, taking them to different practices. But then I also want to launch my business. Like, how do you put that together? Would that be something that you would help people with?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The beautiful thing is I believe in teaching people true principles and then allowing them to have the answers, right? If we can stand on truth, it steps us out of a delusion and then we have clarity. And then from that place of clarity, from that place of truth and utilizing the principles as tools, you can start to find your way forward. So for somebody who is maybe having difficulty navigating opportunity, whether that's opportunity in a different job or opportunity within their company, you have to, there's an element that a lot of people miss. And that is the element of what do you want? Within all of us, we have a natural desire. Where that desire comes from, I don't totally know. But there are things that I naturally gravitate towards. And Jawad, there are things that naturally grip you, things that naturally just engage you and you have a hunger and a drive to know more about those things or solve problems in that area. And for whatever reason, that is an area of interest or desire for you. And what I believe is rather than fight that internal desire that you have, fight that internal thing that's grabbing your attention, why not have the work that you're doing or the business that you're building also move you, be connected to something that you're already naturally gravitating towards?
Yeah.
And if you can align those things, then you're no longer at war with yourself, right? Because there's something inside of you that wants something. And so rather than fighting that thing every day, and a lot of times high performers use discipline to fight that thing, right? And so they're gripping the steering wheel and it's everything in them to just stay in this lane over here. And I say discipline is great, but it's a finite resource. Like it can only get you so far. So yes, use discipline. I think that's awesome and great, but why not be in a vehicle that is taking you in a direction that you naturally already want to go. So I'll give you a really specific example. Somebody who is working with me right now, he was building a $50 million company. And unexpectedly, he got acquired recently, which is great, right? Like, he's got cash in his pocket.
Yeah.
And part of this acquisition is they want him to continue to build the company. And so he has these really specific targets and objectives. And he was like, Katie, as soon as that acquisition happened, all my drive, my fire, my passion, it left the room. And he was like, I am really struggling. There's a man of integrity inside of me that's, I made promises to these people.
Yeah.
And I want to deliver on those promises. And he's trying to use discipline to deliver on those promises. And it's not there. And he's having to go fire up teams of 300 plus individuals. And he's, I'm not excited about this. And I have to stand in front of a room and try and light this room on fire.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to fake it till you make it. And I'm like, don't fake it.
Yeah.
I said, what is something that is meaningful to you that we can also find inside of contractually what you're now contractually obligated to do?
Yeah.
So that you're not using discipline to deliver on these obligations, but we are aligning with your natural desire, something you're already so curious about, something you're already driven by. And it was great because as we talked today, he was like, I feel that spark. Just talking about this, I feel that spark.
Yeah. Dude, that's so powerful because it's almost like when you hear about companies being acquired and then a few months later you hear, oh, the founder of that company has left. Because when you're launching a company or you're running a company or you're creating something brand new, it's out of passion. And once you've created it, when somebody comes and buys it, it's a different transaction. Okay, now it's yours. It's not mine anymore. You paid for it.
Right.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And here's the distinction. Here's what got lost is your will. What got lost is your will, and it got replaced with obligation. Who likes taking action out of obligation?
Nobody. Not a whole lot of people.
Nobody does, especially entrepreneurs. Like, an entrepreneur all of a sudden feels like they're in a straitjacket. So you have to understand how to move it back into that place of desire. That's the key.
I'm going through a similar experience right now where I'm working with my friend. Okay, we're going to do this. And you manage all of these people and come up with this stuff. And initially I was like, I'm going to do all of this stuff. And I was like, you know what? I know I can do it at all, but I'd rather somebody else do it. Let me bring an expert in to do it. And now I have to manage five different projects. I'm like, you know what? Instead of me doing it, let me go find a project manager that can then, and then I can keep that spark going. So that's something that I'm in the process of making happen for myself, because I'm good at one specific thing. And we all are, you know, in that zone of genius. We like solving problems. We like looking at challenges and it's like, how can I solve this problem? And there's a big problem that I've been looking to solve. And I'm like, I want to go back to it. Right. Yeah. But then I have all these obligations that I got to fulfill. It's really crazy. Wow. This opens my mind.
Can I show a visual? Like, what you're talking about, it can create this internal battle. And simplified, it's a battle between your head and your heart. And what happens is your attention, your mind, and your energy and emotion and drive, it gets spread out and it gets, it's like you're standing. So the picture that I'm showing, it's you're standing there with your bow and arrow, right? Which is like your time, your attention, your focus, your resources. And you're surrounded by all these different targets. And there's only 24 hours in a day, right? And you only have X amount of years in this life, 100, give or take a few years. And yet you have all of these things that want your time and your attention. So how can we organize all of the variables in a way that you're aiming fewer times and you're even pulling back on fewer arrows? But when you shoot an arrow, you're not just hitting one, you're hitting many. And conceptually, this is what that looks like.
Oh, I love that.
And the thing that brings it all together is that profound North Star that's meaningful to you. So in this image, all of the scattered targets are all aligned, pointing in one direction.
Yeah.
Holy smokes. So you're of one mind. You're of one mind. You're of one heart. And you're moving in one direction. Now, that also means that you have a multidimensional life, right? Because you're a spouse, you're a parent, you're a man or woman of faith who has some sort of spiritual practice. You have a physical body that has needs, right? You need sleep and food and energy, right? There's all these variables that we all have, but what if all of those variables lined up in the same direction, aiming at the same North Star?
Yeah.
So that's what's cool, Jawad, is the way that I discovered all of this is I had designed a product that was like perpetually growing itself. And the product and the brand and the mission and the values infused in that product and brand, it was creating this kind of magnetic attraction. And I was getting invitations to be on the Ellen DeGeneres show, the Rachel Ray show, the Today show. My husband and I were on the cover of Entrepreneur magazine. And I was getting all of this attention. And like within the first 5 to 6 years, we'd sold over 1 million units.
Amazing.
Without any ad spend. And that's really unusual for somebody in their first time ever building a company. It's what is going on there? And essentially what I had done with the product was I took variables that were at odds with each other. And I'll give you the specific example. My product that like made me famous and got my brand out there and attracted all this attention. It was a baby bathtub and it hangs in stores flat. And then it folds with one hand. You can fold it into a bucket seat that fits in your bathroom sink to hold water. Now, hold on a second. Those seem contradictory. Hangs in stores flat, folds to hold water. Right? Those are variables that are at odds with each other.
Yeah.
And I used design to align those variables and bring them together in harmony.
Nice.
And create a product that, because it was delivering on this desired outcome, which was cradle the baby, be warm and soft against their skin, and be easy to set up and take down. It was all those variables that seemed like they were at odds with each other. And I used design and design thinking to bring them all together in one form, one shape. And that intention and those values infused in that product, it was literally magnetic. It was magnetic. And so as I was struggling personally, as my business was taking off, I realized that I needed to take my design process and I needed to turn it on myself and align the variables of Katie. And align the variables of Katie's life, because I'd proven it on maybe a small scale, but a very big scale, global scale.
Yeah, global scale.
But I on a global scale, in a physical product, if it works in a physical product, would it also work on a person? And honestly, I didn't know the answer, but I could tell you that what I was doing wasn't working. And the pain was so great that I knew I had to change. I knew something had to change.
Yeah.
And so I started making changes within myself internally to align the variables, align the principles.
I love that.
Align my mind and my heart.
What's beautiful in the story that you just shared is you were able to do that externally for a company. And it's easier to do that because you could see what's happening, right? It's easy to bake a cake. It's easy to cook food because you see what's happening. But to bring that internally, you got to do the internal work. You got to do the mindset work. You got to do all of the things that's going to make you in alignment. And that's powerful. That's really powerful.
Yeah. Oftentimes, to your point, we avoid that or we miss it because it's too uncomfortable to look inside ourselves. It's too scary.
It is.
We're afraid of what we're going to find. So we just avoid it. And we try and control the external world using discipline, force, hard work. And really, the more powerful way to create the reality that you want is to first create it within you. And if you can create that reality inside of you, reality has no choice other than to just reflect who you have become internally. Yeah. It just will. It just happens. And it's way more effortless.
Man, that was deep. That was really deep. I love it. I love every single part of the story, because not only are you a good storyteller, you've been doing this for a while, and having been able to work on that, and of course, being a podcast host yourself on What's Working Now podcast, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's really powerful, and I totally love it. Let's take a quick break, and when we get back, you share three hacks with the audience on how they can implement in their lives what's going to enable them to get in alignment with their lives.
Love it.
Are you ready to amplify your business? SBI Pro is your gateway to elevate your entrepreneurial journey, offering cutting-edge education, immersive training, and interactive collaborations. Whether you're just starting out or you're a seasoned pro, SBI Pro is the community for you, providing you access to professional networking and advice to accelerate your growth. To join, head on over to hacksandhobbies.com/SBI Pro. Join SBI Pro and transform your unique journey into a success story. Again, head on over to hacksandhobbies.com/SBI Pro. Hey guys, welcome back. We've been talking with Katie Richardson here on the podcast. She's got an amazing story. Well, you've probably been listening, and I'm just blown away, because when you're in alignment with who you are and where your heart desires, you're totally in control. You totally want to get out of bed and jump out and do that. Like, for example, the book that I created, A to Zoo, Animal Alphabet Symphony, was a problem that I was trying to solve. And it was at 4 a.m. And if I hadn't jumped on it and made it happen, and so the next 48 hours is what enabled me to create the book, I would not be feeling the gratitude. Right? Because when you have an idea, oh my God, this is an awesome idea. But when it comes to execution, it's like, oh my God, I don't know if I have it in me to do
it. Yeah.
Katie, take it away. You've got a few hacks for us to share.
Yeah, I do. I operate from principles of truth. And so that's what my podcast, What's Working Now, is all about, is I feel like principles of truth are always true. The thing that changes throughout history is the application of the truth. So if you can understand the principle, then that principle will serve you in any application, whether that's in your business, at home with your kids, in maybe a difficult conversation with your spouse, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm always looking for those true principles. So my hacks, so to speak, are principles of truth. And the first one is to tell the truth. Mm-hmm. If we are not telling the truth of what's getting in the way, what we're actually wanting, our intention, if we're not telling the truth, then we're in a delusion, because we're in a lie. And one of the things that I help clients do is I help them find where that lie is, or where they're out of integrity with themselves, because that disempowers us. And so if you can tell the truth of what you want, and I'll give you an example, this company that I was talking about, Pudge, we were looking for partners to go to the next stage of the business. And somebody that we were pitching to came back to us, like we were pitching to him as a potential partner. He came back to us with a buyout offer. Mm-hmm. It was unexpected. It was not our plan to exit then, at least. We had always known we were going to build it to exit someday. And so we had that enterprise value built in with patents and trademarks and intellectual property, but it just was happening sooner than expected. Mm-hmm. And my husband, who was my partner in the business and in marriage, he didn't want to take that. Like he was like, no, that's not, I've got plans. I'm moving forward on these plans. I'm looking for the right partner. He didn't want to take the offer, even though it was a very generous offer. Mm-hmm. It was too soon in his mind. And I, on the other hand, did want the offer. And I had a host of reasons why, one being my design from my heart. Mm-hmm. And I was designing baby products as I was having babies. And so my heart was really in it. And at this point, my youngest was like 4 or 5 years old. And I was like, my heart's not, it's just not in baby products anymore.
Yeah.
And so even though I didn't know what the next thing was for me, I did want to exit. And Junaid, like, it took so much courage for me to speak that truth to my husband. And not just to try and invalidate what he wanted, but it was like, actually, I do want to take this offer. Mm. And he would ask questions like, what's the next move? And where do we go next? And I was like, I don't know, but I feel like there's so much noise for us inside of this company that we need to exit and then make decisions on the other side of that. It took so much faith. So telling the truth, we have to tell the truth. Otherwise we're in a delusion. And so looking to be in integrity with yourself, that's what we're looking for. When you're in that integrity with self, you have clarity. If you can't see forward and you feel like your vision's clouded, it's because there is a lie or delusion that you are inside of right now. And you need to find within you where that lie is so you can step back into a place of integrity. So step one, tell the truth. Step two, and maybe I should flip these as I'm saying this to you. Step two is to get out of your head. There are so many ways that we can hide from ourselves when it's just ideas floating around in our head. Amen. And you need to get down on paper. And I learned this as a designer. You come up with products and concepts and ideas inside of your head. And as a designer, I can move that object around in my head. I can see it from a top view and a side view, and I can see underneath. I can see all of the parts and pieces and components and how it all goes together inside my head, which is great and awesome. But when you actually put that idea to paper, you actually see it from a new angle.
Yeah.
And it's no longer a part of you or who you are. You become separate from the idea and you're able to see it in a new way. And I'll give you some examples. Like sometimes I'm about to do a big deal and I'm in the middle of negotiations and I'll get afraid of losing the deal. And so fear will enter the room.
Oh, wow.
And I think that I can just navigate all of that fear in my head. And I had this one time when I was in the middle of a negotiation and my husband, he wasn't part of the deal. And he could see me on phone calls with these individuals. And listen, these were individuals that were very well connected. They were connected to a whole host of very famous people, right? Mm-hmm. So it was very much applying. It was very much appealing to my ego, so to speak. And I had so much fear around what if this deal doesn't happen that I wasn't showing up powerfully and I wasn't calling out things in the deal that didn't make sense. I wasn't pointing out the red flags. And I was in the delusion of the lies that I was believing. And long story short, as soon as my husband pointed out to me, he was like, you're not showing up powerfully with these people. And I was like, you're right. And immediately I pulled my journal out and I wrote at the top, what am I afraid of? And I thought it was going to be like one or two things. No. Junaid, like 27 things came out.
Wow.
It was like 27 different things. And it was this domino effect. What's funny is our mind thinks that we can predict the future. If I don't get this deal, then this happens. Then this. And it was like 12 steps removed. And it was like, and my life falls apart. That's usually the end catastrophic outcome. And so when you can get it out on paper, you separate yourself from your thoughts and you then are empowered to mold and shape them and influence what you're believing in that moment. So step two, is get out of your head. It's funny. I wrote these things down and I did write them down in a different order. Get out of your head. Tell the truth. Those are the first two steps. And then step number three kind of harkens back to where we started, which is define what you want. Sometimes
so
what
important.
We want is just a feeling. And when something is a feeling, it's not actionable. I was working with an entrepreneur who was really, she felt stuck. And I said, she was trying to describe what was going on and she was meandering and really scattered. And I said, what does it feel like to be in this place? She thought for a minute and she was like, I just feel bleh. And I was like, that's part of the problem because that's not actionable, not at all. And so until what she was feeling was defined, we couldn't take action on it. So define the situation, define the circumstance, define what it is that you want. Maybe you're running into fear, but that fear is undefined, which means you can't protect yourself against it because it's undefined. So bringing definition to what's in front of you will then allow you to take action on it. So that's the third step, is define.
I love it. Get out of your head.
Yeah.
Tell the truth and define what you want. I've been reading the book, The Gap and the Gain, 10X is Easier Than 2X by Benjamin Hardy and Dan Sullivan. And they talk a lot about, instead of needing things, you want to focus on all the wants. Because when you need something, you put a, oh, I need this because blah, blah, blah. But when you want something, it's not a deficit. It's a positive outcome of it. Like, I wanted to write this book. Why?
Yeah.
Because I just want to. What is it going to do? I just want to. It's going to be, it's a connection in our brain that we make. You have something accomplished. You have something physical and that you put out from your energy out of nothing or out of all the thoughts and all of the experiences that, that you've had. And I've been called out on, oh my God, you're just spending so much time on that book. I want to get it done.
I get that. There's something really magical about having an idea come into your mind and then going through the process where that idea no longer only exclusively lives in your mind, but it's literally in your hand.
Yeah.
And once it's in your hand, then you can put it in other people's hands and it influences and impacts their life. And it's so rewarding, so fulfilling.
I absolutely agree. And it's amazing. And when you were mentioning about we can design things in our heads and turn it around as designers and creatives, but until you put it on paper and until you make a physical version of it, you see all the different angles of it. And I was able to do, I created something like this almost 13 years ago out of PVC pipe. It's basically a little walker when my youngest was 9 months old. It's all made of PVC pipe and it looks like this pyramid, something out of Star Wars. Like it looked really cool when I actually built it out, but I couldn't like, what's the word? I could have, if I knew the right people to go to manufacture, hey, I want to create something like this. It would have been a reality, but again, maybe that's maybe third time's the charm. Cause I made it again when my youngest, when my fourth was about 8 months old. So I made it again. Okay. I have the plans. I have all the pieces. Let me make it again. And it was fun because two of my middle childs never got to see it. Because we were in different places. So when they saw it, oh my God, I want to jump into it. Can you? And anyways, it's really fun when you physically create things that are in your mind and then you make it reality. So thank you again for the three hacks, for the three principles of truth as you define them.
Yeah.
The question is, welcome. Katie, when is your book coming out?
Janaid, so many people ask me that question.
I know, right?
Something interesting is this last year, I had been asked that question so many times that I was like, okay, let's make it happen. I put it on my calendar and for 6 months, I tried to make it happen and it was a battle. And I was like, you know what? When the time is right, it won't be such a battle. So I've set it down for now. The interesting thing is I did write a book several years ago, right after I had my fourth child. It's a book on pregnancy, but not about pregnancy. It's like the life lessons that pregnancy taught me. And it's a book that I share with clients. And that book did flow out of me. And so I knew the difference. I knew what it's like to try and force something to happen.
Right.
And I'm just in a place in my life where I don't need to force anything anymore. Yeah. And I really want to align with God, the universe. Like I want to co-create. Yes. I want to co-create in that flow state and not using force and discipline to make something happen. So I have confidence that when the time is right, it will happen. And it's, of course, it'll take some work and discipline. But it was grueling. It was miserable. And I was like, I finally made the decision that I'm going to set it down. But the funny thing is I go back and I read what I've written so far and it's brilliant. It's beautiful. It's amazing. So it will happen some point.
But I can't, I'll be first in line to get that book when you do come out with it. Thank you. Katie, let's jump into the section of the podcast where it's all fun questions. So number one, what is the one hobby that you wish you got into?
Like I'm trying to find a point in my life. Okay. I live in Puerto Rico and I like can see the ocean and the beach from my house. Yeah. I live on the hillside.
Yeah.
And I surf, but not really. So I'm a physically active woman. I've been my whole life. Mm-hmm. And something that I do, but wish I did way better and did more often, is surfing. I live here in Puerto Rico. I can see the ocean and the beaches from my house on the hill. And I wish I really knew how to surf big waves, like 7 to 10 foot waves.
Nice. I love it. Next up, what did you want to be when you were a child?
I loved watching Mr. Rogers when I was a kid. And I loved when he would go into the picture frame, because he would go to factories, which is interesting because I ultimately became somebody who manufactured my ideas.
Yeah.
But, and like from a young age, I knew I wanted to work with metal. That sounds funny, but, and I even became a welder when I was in college. I got really good at it, and I worked for a furniture designer, and I was taught the art of welding from a gunsmith. He was a gunsmith. But I always wanted to be a chef. And there's a part of me that still does, which is great because I experiment with food all the time. It's a great place for me daily to be creative in my life. And it's a creative outlet. And my family really likes my food. So
I love it. That's so fascinating. When you mentioned earlier about surfing, it reminded me of a battle of mine with the ocean. Try to get on the canoe from the beaches of San Diego. And I just could not. I was like, I'm just going to hang out here and just watch everybody else go on that journey. It was really interesting. But I love what you said. You worked with welding. You worked at the furniture store, being able to work with material, because I'm always getting ideas of making things. And the reason I'm partners with Go Box Studio is because here's a gentleman who taught himself, what's this app called, where you can design 3D stuff on a web browser. We were like milling different things. It's really fascinating. That's something that I wish I got more into, welding and whatnot. All right, next up, what's your favorite TV show or movie?
I really like Bill Murray movies. So What About Bob, Groundhog's Day. Yeah. I like to laugh. When Tommy Boy came out and I saw that in the movie theaters, and I just found myself out loud laughing. I love having fun and being playful. And I think there's actually a lot of brilliance in good comedy.
It's
about bringing together conflicting ideas and understanding how to connect them. And in a lot of ways, that's what I do in design, right? These conflicting ideas and concepts and bringing them together. As far as TV shows, I actually really like watching Chef Ramsay. So he has a new one out called Food Stars, I think. It's bringing in entrepreneurship and cooking.
Nice.
So he brings in, I don't know, 12 or 15 young budding food entrepreneurs.
Mm.
And it's a competition, and the winner is the person that he ends up investing in.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. That's what's amazing about folks that grow their brand and now they're helping others manifest and bring into reality what they love in. Because I don't know if I'm sure we had something like this 20, 30, 40 years ago as well, but it was less televised. You just had to find the right communities and be discovered in. Next up, what movie would you choose if you got to play a character in it?
Who doesn't want to be the chosen one, right? The hero. So I love movies like Lord of the Rings, where you have this unexpected hero, or Harry Potter, right? The unexpected hero.
Yeah.
So I would play one of those roles.
Okay. Next up, who is your favorite superhero?
It's funny. I don't know that superheroes really resonate with me. But definitely Superman. I used to have a lot of flying dreams when I was a kid. They were really vivid too. And I would wake up believing that I could fly. It's a good thing that I couldn't just jump out my window. I really believed it. And I felt it in my body. It was the most exhilarating feeling.
That's amazing. I love it. Superman it is. And last one, if you were a board game, what would it be?
When my boys were really young, we got the Robert Kiyosaki game Cashflow.
Yeah.
And it's such a fantastic game because it's fun, it's playful, it's a reason to bring the family together. And mm-hmm. in this very covert way, we're also learning very valuable life principles.
Yeah. It's a powerful game. I absolutely yeah. love it. And we've played it a couple of times, and in the first couple of times, like, didn't understand, wait, do you need to get to what number? But then yeah. later on, I was like, no, you just need to make with passive income what your expenses are, and you yeah. leave the rat race. I'm like,
yeah.
My blood.
Can I do one more game that
please,
I really like?
Course.
And it's a
please,
really
please.
Simple game. It's called Mastermind. I used to play it a lot when I was a kid. Now I play it mm-hmm. with my kids. It's this game of deduction. So it's only a two-player game. And one person, you pull from, I think it's 7 or 8 different colored pegs. Mm-hmm. And you create a pattern of just 4 colors.
Yeah.
But that's hidden. And then the other player has 12 attempts to try and get your exact combination.
Yeah.
And their only information they get each round is there's a white peg and a black peg. The white peg means you got the right color in the right spot. I might be getting this backwards. Mm-hmm. And then the black peg means right color, wrong spot. Mm. And then you have blanks. And so it's this combination of deduction, and it's quite the mind game. So it's a fun game.
No, it's really looks really awesome. And I remember playing it a while back. This is cool. Katie, thank you so much. We'll be sure to include the links to get to you. So you have katierichardson.com and you have the podcast, What's Working Now. We'll be sure to include these links in the show notes. Thanks so much for your time today and your wisdom and your advice. This was really powerful. I love this conversation. And until the next episode, see you soon.
Thank you, Junaid. This was amazing.
Absolutely.
Congratulations. You made it to the end of the episode. Thanks so much for listening to our guest on this episode. Please send me an email at junaid@hacksandhobbies.com to tell me what you loved about our guest today. You could find links mentioned in this episode on the hacksandhobbies.com website.